What did Jews do? Jews learn Chumash. Very good. Chumash and Rashi. One of the things that Jews do is learn Chumash and Rashi. Rav Wilk Shlita happens to be, was in Israel for a couple of days. I went to see him. When he's around, I try to see him. And I said, Rebbe, I quote you about Chumash and Rashi, because he's very, very into Chumash and Rashi. He always talks about it. The father, Rav Wilk, I mean, the kids also, they get it from him, I assume. But I'm talking about Rav Mordechai Wilk Shlita, the father. So, anyway, here we go. Chumash and Rashi. There's a huge amount. Okay. So this is this week's parsha is Nitzavim and Vayelech. Yeah.
Double parsha.
Our guys.
Yeah.
Our guys.
Okay. So here we go. In the first pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to all of Bnei Yisrael, and he says, Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Vishotreichem. There's an order. So what does Rashi say? Hechashuv, Chashuv Kodem. Ve'acharka Kol Ish Yisrael. The more prominent ones come first. The Chashuv people are supposed to be first. This is the Torah way. You have to give kavod to the right people. And giving kavod to the right people reflects that you know what's important in life. So you have a big gadol, he goes first. A big chacham, that's what Rashi's saying here. Moshe is talking to Bnei Yisrael, and there's a hierarchy. It's a hierarchy. Not everyone's the same. Some people are big tzaddikim and big yirei shemayim, and they are taka more important. You know, everyone has their own job to do. Everyone has their own job to do. And your job is to do what you're supposed to do. And Rav Nevin Sol Shlita's job is to do what he's supposed to do. But Rav Nevin Sol, because of his 70, 80 years of work, has achieved a higher level. He goes first. And the fact that you give kavod to a great Rav reflects that you appreciate Torah's important. You're supposed to get close to God in this world. Keeping this is important. So having a hierarchy reflects our value system. For most of us, right? So if you came to a, let's say you got on an airplane, and oh my gosh, the Cleveland Cavaliers are on the airplane. And there's LeBron. So he goes first. He walks around, and there's chashivas. That's chashivas. Wherever he, whatever. Millions and millions of dollars. I was once on an airplane with the Chicago Bulls.
Really?
Way back in the day. This is way before you. No, before that. That would have been important. No, way before then. They had Artis Gilmore, 7'3", with the big afro. And I remember his hair, like, you know, touching the top of the plane. You know, I was a kid. And they sit down in these chairs. What happened was their flight was canceled, and they were stuck on the regular flight where we were flying from Chicago. Now, they had a hard time because they're so big and flying coach. Yeah, like the peasants. Anyway, so in our world, so you get on an airplane, so LeBron, that reflects the values in America. People that are good basketball players, they are considered chashuv. And I mean, aside from the money, they're considered like chashivos. And he has a view on Trump, and we take his views seriously. No, it's not a joke. On the news, the big sports figures take stands on Trump's good, Trump's not. It's ridiculous. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos. We have to value what's important. So there's a hierarchy. So you have to know there's a hierarchy in life. And there is. And if Devin Saul gets he deserves the covet. He doesn't ask for the covet, but he deserves it. He doesn't want the covet, but he deserves it. You have to give it to him. To show that you know what's important in life. You stand up for big people, and you respect people, and you give, you put the effort in. You have to give people these covet. Okay, anyway, that's the first one. Let's continue. Okay. Okay, next. Pasuk, guys, please keep on closing the door. The door has to be closed. Okay, thanks. Pasuk Yibes. Gemahanaki Moschal Hayom Lo'on. Hashem is giving you this Shavua to make you into his nation. So what does Rashi say? Yud Beis. How come Hashem put so much, put in so much, so much, to so much trouble to this whole Shavua? Leman kaimoscha lefanav. Hashem wants to establish you before Him as His nation. Le'am. V'yocha le'ulkim. V'fi shediber l'cha v'nishba la'avosecha shelo l'hachlif azaram. Bnei Yisrael will never be switched. Hashem promised to the Avos that we're going to be His chosen nation forever. So that's the deal. We are the chosen nation, and we will get this later. We will survive as a nation. So Hashem says, listen, I'm making you guys take a shvu. You better do the right thing, because you're my chosen nation, and I'm not going to switch you. L'chachu osar eschem. B'shvu osalalu. Hashem asks you with all these shvuas not to do the wrong thing. This is a big deal. We will not be changed. Am Yisrael will survive forever. Am Yisrael will survive forever until Mashiach comes and beyond. And that there are many promises like that in the Torah. Hashem is our Hashem forever, and we are His people forever. Hashem made the world for us. It says Rashis, Bishvil Rashis, for the chosen nation. It could have been any nation, but Avraham Avinu stepped up to the plate, and we became the chosen nation. So this is a big deal. That's why Hashem keeps on making this promise to keep the mitzvos. For our benefit, Am Yisrael is going to make it. There's a train going through, a nice, good speed. It's going through. There's zigzags. And it's going to get to Yemos HaMashiach. And the challenge that all of us have is to make sure that we stay on that train, and that we're so firmly on that train that our kids, Be'ezras Hashem, are on that train, and our grandkids. This is the train's going to get there. The train's going. That's this Rashi. Rashi says, you will be His nation forever. We're Hashem's nation forever. Baruch Hashem, we're set. Am Yisrael is good to go as a nation. We're never going to be switched. But it doesn't mean each guy in the nation. Some people, Rahman al-Itzlan, they're off the train. It's terrifying. It's a terrifying thought. It's terrifying. They're off the train until somebody hops them back. And the decisions that we make in life have an impact of whether we're gonna stay on that train. You got it? So this is a big deal. This is a big deal. My father, Shalita, live and be well. So he grew up traditional, not Orthodox. My father's parents weren't observant in the regular way. They were traditional. And when he was a kid, he was traditional. And then he ended up in University of Chicago. He was like 14 when he went there. My father's really smart. Yeah. And he skipped a couple of... His older brother was even smarter. Okay, but his older brother ended up not being so religious. So my father doing okay. And he skipped grades. Then he was in 11th grade, or 10th grade, 11th grade. And his principal said to him, he called him into the office, don't come back to school tomorrow, go to the University of Chicago. He gave him a letter, he went to college and he was 14. All right, that's what he did. And then he finished college, and then he went to law school. And my father graduated law school. He couldn't take, you have to be 21 to take the bar exam. He had to wait to take the bar exam. In other words, normally you finish college 21, 22, 3 years of law school, 24, 25. My father had to wait to take the bar exam because he had finished law school before he was 21. Anyway, he was traditional. That's what he did. And in Chicago, University of Chicago, he met this Lubavitcher Chassid who was there, Shliach from the Rebbe. And he got Chumash and this, and he got him in more into things. And my father became observant and Orthodox on his own. And he taught himself how to cook. He had to cook for himself and everything, the kashrus. And then he met my mother, and my mother was from a very well-established Orthodox family. So my father's decision, it's a pretty good decision, to go from traditional to Orthodox, that was a pretty big decision. That little decision is changing generations. My father has grandkids who are finishing Shas all the time. Finishing Shas, pretty often. Finishing Shas and doing things and his family and doing all these big things. Anyway, so that's this Rashi. Am Yisrael is going to last forever, guys. That's what Rashi says. Hashem lasts forever. We're lasting forever. But you got to make sure we're on the train. So we should listen to all the warnings in the Chumash. We should listen to all the warnings. But then Rashi quotes, at the same Rashi, at the end of the Rashi, so in Parshas Kisavo, you have all these klogos and Hashem's going to punish us, all these scary things. So Moshe Rabbe, so Rashi quotes the Medrash. The Medrash goes, Lama nisla Parshas Nitzavim with klogos. How come Nitzavim is next to the klogos? Shem Yisrael, they all heard all the klogos and they were terrified. Who can handle this? Who can handle this? Moshe was Mephi, he consoled them. Atem Nitzavim, you made it, you're still here. Even though you did Averos, Hichastem Lamakom, this is the phrase, Itchem Kilaya. Kilaya is the big word. He never totally destroyed you. Excuse me. Kilaya means to be totally destroyed. We're never going to be totally destroyed. Got it? So Moshe was giving us chizuk. We're not going to be totally destroyed, and we're going to make it. Okay. Next. So you have to know that. Let us continue. Okay. Pasuk Yudalek. Moshe is making the shvua with Bnei Yisrael. What does he say? He's making a bris, this covenant. Ki eis asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom. Who's ever here, I'm making the bris with. Ve eis asher einenu po, and whoever's not here also. So Moshe is making a bris, making this covenant between the two, Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Even those who aren't here. What does that mean? So look at Rashi, it's what we just said. Af im doros ha'asidim lihios. Even with the future generations. Rashi doesn't mean if there were Jews floating around who happened to miss it. You know, they got up late and they weren't there. You know, they missed it. You know, they were davening by the Kosel. They missed Minyan. No, that's not what the Pasuk means. It means the future generations. That's what I just said before. This is a bris forever. Moshe speaking for Hashem made this bris forever. That generation and the future generations. Forever, Am Yisrael, we're going to be Hashem's nation, and we have to keep the Torah. We're stuck. You got to keep it. Now, it's the greatest thing, by the way, to keep the Torah. That we'll discuss a lot during the year, and call it brainwashing, call it good advice, whatever you want to call it. If you keep the Torah, this is like the secret out there. And once you know the secret, it's really very pleasant to know it. When you keep the Torah, you don't just get Olam Haba, which you do. You get Olam Hazeh. It's like a bonus, meaning you enjoy Olam Hazeh more. People that really are plugged into the Torah, let's say a person has real emuna about that Hashem runs the world. Real emuna. That's how he lives his life. He does his shadows, he tries to make a living. He makes a decent living. And his neighbor has a gigantic house and two Lexuses. What do you call them? Lexi? Two Lexuses. Two Lexi. He has two Lexi. I don't think that's what you say, but let's pretend. Two Lexi. And you're stuck with a regular, I don't know, you're stuck. Oh, a regular minivan. Toyota Prius. You're stuck with a halibut. Let's say you're stuck with Toyota Prius. You're stuck with that. That's what you're stuck with. But you say to yourself, the Sfarim say this. But Hashem gives me what I need. I have a house. I can afford tuition, Baruch Hashem. I have a car, a Toyota Prius. Even though I know it's a good car. It's not a, and then, guys, here's the punchline. These people that live with Emuna, they're just less jealous. People that are jealous of others, their whole life, they're going through life,
they're in Nebuchadnezzar, they're going through their day, they're walking down the street, they have a nice house and a nice Toyota Prius and they can pay tuition, and then, they see their neighbor and their heart starts beating. Oh my gosh, I want more. And they go through their lives jealous all the time for nothing. And it's like, how does the jealousy help you? It doesn't help you. It just gets inside. It's like the guys, Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, writes in his books that when you feel resentment towards others or jealousy of others, listen to what he says. It's like that person is living rent-free inside of you. What a line. Think about that. It doesn't hurt him that you're jealous. It doesn't hurt him your resentment. It eats away at you. So a person who goes through life says, I'm okay, Hashem's with me. And they actually get a better Olam Hazeh. They really do, because they're happier people. And that's one example among around 25,000. We'll discuss other examples as well. The modern is one obvious example. Many of us, you know, we're into media, we're always texting and everything, connecting. Shabbos, assuming you keep Shabbos, and you don't do the half Shabbos, which is not keeping Shabbos. If you're able to keep Shabbos, which you have to, so it's like a natural break away from that. What a great thing. I have a sister-in-law who happened to be on an airplane next to one of Trump's kids, not Ivanka. So she was talking, maybe it was her friend, and he was talking to Trump's kids, his non-Jewish kids, about what it's like, you know, your sister's Jewish and this and that. So Trump's other kid said, yeah, my sister has this thing, you know, that they don't have, you know, they don't use their phones on Shabbos. And like they're on Sabbath, whatever. And their Friday night meal is, so we started in our house, that's what he said, in our house, we have a Friday night no media dinner. We put our things away because it's such a nice thing that the family has that time together. That's amazing. That's amazing. That Trump's other non-Jewish kid saw, non-Jewish child, so that's true. Again, that's one amongst a thousand things. A chance you're forced to take a break and allow yourself to breathe. In the old days, it was like take a break from like the regular hectic. Now, we know taking a break, people are addicted, mm-hmm. You know, totally connected. They're always waiting. And the Shabbos forces you to take a deep breath and spend a little time with your family. So you get Olam Hazeh too. What are we talking about this for? I don't know what the connection is. Well, whatever the connection is. So you don't just get Olam Haba, you get Olam Hazeh too. And it's a big deal, and it's a big skus. Okay, let's go on a little more. There's a lot to talk about. Let's go on a little more. Okay, next. Pasuk Yates. Again, there are certain ideas that are just famous ideas that many of us have heard of. They're all in Rashi. So it says, if you do Averus, Hashem's going to get angry at you. Yeshan af Hashem. Hashem's nose will smoke. That's what it means. His anger. Af means nose, means anger. So Rashi says, when you get angry, the whole body heats up. Haguf mitchamem. The ushan, and it's like the smoke comes out of your nose. Figuratively speaking, you get angry, oh, you're burning up, and the smoke comes out. Now, this is the Farashi. Ve'afal pi she'ein zu lifnei ha'makom. Obviously, Hashem doesn't have anything physical. Hashem doesn't have a nose. He doesn't have anger either in that sense. Hashem is always this. Hashem doesn't have a nose. Ha'kasuv mashmiya es ha'ozen kiderech shehi regila v'yecholga lishmoa. The Torah writes things in the way that your ear understands. So since Hashem wants to give us this picture of him getting angry, Hashem writes about himself getting angry, like his nose is on fire and smoke, even though it's not really happening that way, because Hashem doesn't have a body. So that we've heard of before. Rashi says it a few times. So that's an example. God doesn't have a body. He's perfect. He lasts forever. Anyways, that's this famous Rashi. Next, Pasuk Kaf. One thing of Rashi, this is like a major part of Rashi which scares most people. Rashi spends a lot of time mentioning basic diktuk, or not so basic diktuk. And a lot of people sort of get nervous when they see those Rashis, so they skip it or whatever, they pretend to learn them. Anyway, so you know Rashi teaches basic diktuk. So here there's a famous thing that Rashi says, and this is basic diktuk. And all of us should hear this because we're going to use this something similar during the year. Look in Pasuk Kaf. It says, Moshe says about the Torah that you have to keep the bris haksuva b'sefer haTorah hazeh. In this sefer Torah, what is hazeh? Is hazeh masculine or feminine? Is hazeh masculine or feminine? Hazeh. Is masculine. Now look, look at the same thing. Look back in Perek Kaf Ches Pasuk Samach Aleph. This is a very famous Rashi, by the way. Look back in Kisavo, Perek Kaf Ches Samach Aleph. It says, "V'sefer haTorah hazos," feminine. Same phrase. So this is a Rashi. Noticed this. Rashi didn't miss too many things. He didn't miss anything. So "Sefer haTorah hazos."
Sefer HaTorah Zeh. It's one chapter apart, one parak apart. How come it's Zos or it's Zeh? So Rashi tells you, Rashi explains to you that when you, the word Zeh is an adjective, this something, this particular something. Sefer, what is a Sefer Torah? Sefer is a book, and Torah is the Torah. So is the word Zeh qualifying Sefer or qualifying Torah? Listen to this in English. It's very, you can say in this book of the Torah, or you can say in, I'm reading the artful English, or in the book of his Torah. You hear the English phrase? There are two ways you can say this. The things that are written in this book of Torah, so this is qualifying what? Qualifying book. Or you could say in the book of this Torah, then this is qualifying the Torah. Now it means basically the same thing, but it's a, you know, in English it's a different phrase. In this book of the Torah, or in this book, in the book of this Torah. So if the Zeh is qualifying Sefer, it's going to be masculine, because Sefer is Zachar. But if the word Zeh is qualifying Torah is feminine, it's going to be Zos. So that's the famous Rashi. So that, and Rashi points out that it depends on what the trup is like in the Torah. It depends on the notes in the Torah. Is the Zos linked up with Torah, or is the Zeh linked up with Sefer? That's a great example. That's an easier diktuk Rashi. But Rashi also taught us the basic diktuk. Okay, two more ideas, and then again, there's a huge amount here, and it's a short parsha, but there's a huge amount. But okay, first of all, there's a famous in Perek Lamed. Perek Lamed talks about tshuva. We're coming up to Yom Rosh Hashanah now. So, by the way, there's a yesod, it's in all the Svarim, it goes way back, that it works out that the laning during the year always links up with what's happening during the year. Hashem worked it out perfectly. Hashem's pretty good at these things. So let's say now we're in Elul. So we saw Kitete talks about the fight against the Eitzahara, HaMilchama, and it mentions Yerach Yamim. Yerach Yamim is Elul. Kisavo is the mitzvahs and averos. Mitzavim is tshuva. And it always works out like that, that the themes in the parsha blend in with what's happening out there. Vayeshev Miketz, there's like a massive connection. Those are always around Hanukkah. So in my book, I just quote the six pshatim. The six pshatim of the connection of Vayeshev Miketz to Hanukkah. So here is tshuva. So let's see, there's a famous Rashi. B'shav Hashem Alecha Shavuscha. And Hashem will return your captivity. Now, shav is the wrong word. It should be heshiv. Hashem will bring you back. We'll bring you back. Shav sounds like Hashem himself is also, heshiv is, I cause you to come back. Shav is, what does shav mean? I come back. So Rashi says here, kabiyachol, it's as if, Hashchina shruya im Yisrael b'tzar galusam. When we're in Galus and we have Tzaras, our Hashgaf is Hashem is with us in Galus. Hashem, and you would say Hashem feels our pain when we're in Galus. And when we're redeemed, it's as if Hashem is being redeemed himself. This is a big idea. When we're out in Galus, facing the struggles against the non-Jewish world, Hashem is with us, and He's helping us. You have to do your part. Hashem is helping us. The Shechina Kavayachol goes into Galus as well, as if the Shechina is, you know, in this weakened state. And so that's what it means in the Torah. It doesn't say Hashem's going to bring Bnei Yisrael back, but Hashem himself, in a sense, is also coming back, because he's also in the Galus. It's a very comforting feeling to know that Hashem is with us, even when we're in Saras. That's a very beautiful idea. And finally, the world famous Pasuk Yud Beis, Lo Bashamayim Hi. It is not up in the heavens. Who can go get to us up in the heavens? It says ki mitzvah zos. This mitzvah is not up in the heavens. You have to. It's attainable. It's attainable. So this is a big discussion. What is being spoken about here? So the standard shot is it's referring to the Torah. The Torah is not up in this. The Torah is right here. The Torah is right here. It's on your desks. It's available. Everyone can learn Torah. Everyone needs to learn Torah. It's not floating around. It's impossible. I can't. Yes, you can. Especially nowadays. Especially nowadays, everyone can. With all the help that we can get. So don't think, oh, it's too hard. It's not too hard. You have to put the effort in. Some of us got late starts. But the Torah is not. And then Rashi says, and even if it was in Shemaim, you'd have to go up and get it. Even if it was, Hayat Sarich La'alos Acharei Lamdo. So you should know that too. Even if it was nearly impossible, you'd have to do, but it happens not to be impossible. Lo bashamayim. The other pshat is that lo bashamayim he's referring to, this is what the Ramban says, referring to tshuva. See, earlier it's talking about tshuva. So that's the other idea. Don't think tshuva is what? Don't think what?
Unattainable.
Correct. Don't think tshuva is impossible, unattainable. The Yetzirah wants us to think. The Yetzirah wants you to give up. Why? What happens when you give up?
You lose.
Right, you always lose. If you give up, you lose. Then you have no chance. If you give up, you lose. So my old example used to be, Isaac knows this example, Reggie Miller against the Knicks in the late 80s, the choke sign to Spike Lee. Reggie Miller scored 8 points in 15 seconds. He had a three-pointer, stole the inbounds, another three-pointer, he was fouled. 8 points. This is on the, if you watch ESPN Classics, I don't know what TV is, but theoretically, if I ever saw ESPN Classics, Taka, now it's on YouTube, you can see it, the five-minute clip. Yeah. So sorry, I apologize for dating myself. ESPN Classic is old news already, that's amazing. Anyway, so you can find it. So that's the old, so Reggie Miller didn't give up. Okay. The new example is last year's Super Bowl, right? Last year's Super Bowl.
Patriots.
No, timeout. The Reggie, I didn't see the Reggie. I think that game may have been on Shabbos. I didn't see that. I happen not to have seen the Super Bowl. But they're way behind and they came back. They didn't give up. When you give up, you lose. Okay. The Yetzer Hara says to us, you can't do tshuva. It's impossible. Stop trying. Stop fooling yourself. You can never stop this aveira. You know you can't. That's just the way it is. Don't even think about it. Just get it out of your system. Get it out of your mind. It's impossible. That's the Yetzer Hara. And it's not true. It's not true. It's possible to defeat the Yetzer Hara. And you put a little effort in, and then whoo, Hashem goes, helps you the rest of the way. Hashem helps you the rest of the way. There's a world famous mushal, you have to know the mushal. The mushal was said in different ways, but the mushal happens to be exactly true. So there's a king and there's this tower, a thousand floor tower. He says, if you get to the top of the tower, I'll give you millions of dollars. It's impossible. So a guy climbs up, I can't do it. Climb up, guy. One guy gets 100 floors, 120 floors, guy works out, it's impossible. People give up. Another guy says, look, the king said it's got to be possible. He keeps on pushing and pushing. He pushes the artist. 150. He gets to the 180th floor. And he gets there. It's impossible. And he gets to that floor. And what does he find 184?
Elevator.
An elevator to the top. Oh. See, that 180 is doable. 180 is doable. It's doable if you work really hard. And then, boom! That's exactly what Chazal say. You try to put the habogatar messiah in low. It's a very important muscle. That's the Ramban's pshat in this pasuk. Lo bashamayim he. It's possible. The Yetzer Hara tries to trick us. Nah, you can't. Don't even think about it. It's impossible. Like you can't demand. Don't even think about it. Because you just feel bad about yourself if you think it. Put it out. No, you can make the effort. You start. You do one thing at a time. And you show you're in a little bit of control. You show you're in control of yourself. That's a huge step. All the books say, a person has a taiva. He loves tray food. He loves tray food. And he comes to this restaurant. No one's around. He's going to go in and at this tray thing. So the books say walk around the block once and delay 5 minutes and then go in. That 5 minute walk around the block shows, this is the key, that you are still exercising your Bechira Chavshis a little bit. It shows you have some control. That little thing, it's a 5 minute walk around the block, that little thing ends up, that's the little opening, and then eventually Hashem helps you with the rest. So that's what all the books say. It's in the Torah books, and it's in the psychology, Buhadu, the psychology books. That 5 minutes, you walk around the block, and then you go in, shows I have some self-control, even though it's a very, but I have some self-control, and that I'm still exercising my free will. That's the Ramban, that's Lo Bashamayim Hi. This is massively...
Okay, just a few more ideas. So in Parak Lamed Pasuk Tesvov, the Torah presents one parasha of Bechira Chavshis. The pasuk reads, "Re'ei nasati l'fanecha hayom esachayim ve'esatov esamav ve'esara," and then a few psukim later, "Ubacharta b'chayim." So Rashi says, "Ze talui b'ze. Im ta'ase tov, harei l'cha chayim." Chayim tov means you have chayim and you have life and you have good. If you're good, then you will have life. You'll have a successful life. Im ta'ase ra. If you do evil, then you'll be punished. So Rashi learns the psukim as pairs. Chaim and Tov go together, and Mavis and Ra go together. This is the idea of Bechira Chavshis. We have a choice. We have to choose the right way. Rashi says later on, "Uvacharta b'chaim ani mora l'cham." I'm teaching you. She'tivchu b'chaim l'cham. Choose the right way. Choose life. As a person says to his son, "Kadam homer l'ivno." Take the nice portion of my estate. Person has a son, and so he's setting up the Yerush. He says, "Listen here, I want you to get the best piece of land." And he gives him before he gives some of it away to others. So he's telling him what to choose. So you choose this portion. So although we have Bechira Chavshis, which we do, Hashem says, "I'm instructing you, choose the right one, choose the good path." And that's what all of us have to do, and this is a very important parasha in general, and especially important before Rosh Hashanah. Making the right choices. That is what life is all about, is making the right choices. Everything else is taken care of by Hashem.